welcome to Procedurally Generated. I'm Henry Bell, and joining me in studio today are Tom Schreier and Max Hamilton. We've got a very special episode for you guys this week. We're going to be discussing the new Star Wars film, The Force Awakens. Be warned, there will be spoilers in this episode, so please tune out now if you want to avoid them. I'm going to give you a couple seconds. You're scrambling for your phone in your pocket. You just want to make sure you don't accidentally hear about how... Just kidding. All right. You guys still here? All right. Yeah, that's enough time. If so, without further ado, here's our thoughts on Star Wars The Force Awakens. All right. So everybody got to see it this week, right?
Yeah. Have we all only seen it one time so far?
Yeah. I saw it like the pre-screening just the night before.
Okay. Yep. Same for we went to the same show in actually. Yeah. So.
Oh, cool. Not the same as me, I don't think.
Tom and I went to the same show.
Gotcha. But. Cool. So first things first, let's just say like.
How awesome was that Zootopia trailer?
Yeah. I didn't actually catch all the trailers because he's busy stocking up on free food and stuff.
Did you see the Warcraft one? Actually, I don't know if it'll be any
topic. We're getting off topic, Tom.
You did this to me, though. That's your fault.
Hey, you guys want to mention the trailers. It's not that big of a deal.
Warcraft looks decent.
The new Deadpool trailer was pretty cool.
Oh, they didn't show that at ours. We got Kung Fu Panda 3.
Which, a lot of Marvel.
Yeah, I am pumped for Captain America Civil War.
Also, I'm going to be honest, a little excited for Apocalypse.
Yes, that was a really good trailer.
Yeah, the trailer looked pretty good, and it's who's directing it again? Is it Bryan Singer?
Yeah. Although I'm getting a little sick of Jennifer Lawrence's Mystique.
I never really liked
like
her Mystique.
Struggle. Well, exactly, but now they're trying to like capitalize off her Hunger Games.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
Like, make her a good person.
Well, it's Loki all over again. Over again, where they're like, oh, there's a popular actor in this role. We should probably make them a good guy just so we can keep them around.
And then it kind of like gave up, even though Magneto and the actor playing him, I'm totally drawing a blank, but he is one of my favorites, is supposed to be this ultimate evil like badass.
Ian McClellan?
No, I'm sorry. Young Magneto.
Oh, young Magneto, of course.
But
I wouldn't know. I'm terrible with
that. They show him getting controlled and like acting like his actions aren't his own. And it's like, don't make up an excuse for why he can still kind of be good on the inside when he's supposed to be this bad character.
Yeah, I don't know what is going on with some of that stuff. But, you know, it's just a trailer for now. But I have to say, much more excited for Apocalypse than I am for the... upcoming Batman versus Superman.
Oh gosh, there was so much bad CGI in that.
Yeah, and also too many things going on. But that's a discussion that could be an entire episode in and of itself. So let's try and reel things back just a little bit. Focus on the biggest release, gosh, of our lifetimes, considering all the records it broke.
So far to date.
Yep.
I had a blast seeing this movie. I got to go see it with my little brother, who this was the first Star Wars premiere he's ever gone to. He was too young to see the prequels when they were coming out. And it was real fun. Got to go with the family. It was, appropriate, cool, felt like Star Wars. Before we get into any spoilers or anything, I would say if you are still around, it's worth seeing, and don't listen if you haven't seen it because it's really good and it will ruin it if you know the spoilers.
Yeah, and it sounds like a lot of people are going out of their way to spoil it, both on video game websites, forums, and actual games itself, like Xbox Live. I guess a bunch of people renamed their characters in Star Wars Battlefront, changed their game handles just to spoil it.
That's terrible.
Yeah, I don't. I'm getting real sick of this. Like, it's hilarious to spoil things for people. Like,
you know, I did read a really interesting article though, where this guy actually seeks. It might have been on Game Informer, but he seeks out every single spoiler. Oh, it was on Forbes. Seeks out every single spoiler he can before he sees a movie because he feels that way. He can go in fully appreciating it, and he feels like a good story should hold up regardless of this if there's spoilers or not, which I can appreciate, but I feel like that's what second viewings are for.
Yeah, and that's also just kind of like weak. Like a spoiler is a twist is like a key writing facet of writing.
Right.
There is like psychology out there that says you enjoy actually watching a film more when you can, when you know about the spoilers. Like there's a whole study that they did on this, but.
Okay.
That just because of the way that your brain congratulates you basically for predicting it, even though you knew it was going to happen.
Well, you can also appreciate
that's like the twist is like that's the suspense,
right? And you can appreciate the writer's abilities that way,
right? But here's the thing: one of the writer's abilities is suspense, like building suspense. And so if you know the twist, you're not going to experience it the right way that the writer intended, which is fine, I guess, for some people. But I like to try at least to see it the way that the author saw it, so that you can really get the full experience that they're trying to create. So I really, really enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie. I highly recommend it to people. All I was looking for was something better than the prequels, and this was above and beyond by far that mark.
This was far closer to the original feeling than the prequel feelings.
Yep. When I walked out of the theater and my family was asking me my thoughts on it, my first thing was probably the best Star Wars I've seen since Empire Strikes Back. I think sure. It's better than Return of the Jedi. I do, and I'll defend that if you guys disagree.
No, I don't.
I'll chime in. Go ahead.
I was going to say I watched the edited versions of the prequels in the days leading up to the release.
The edited versions?
Yeah, so there are on YouTube, and there's various versions, but this guy basically went and cut out all the stupid scenes, like the weird stuff between Annie and Padme.
I don't like sand. It's so coarse, and it gets
exactly,
everywhere.
Exactly.
Oh, that's bad.
He ripped all of Jar Jar's lines, dubbed over it with unintelligible alien voices, and then he put in subtitles that fit the movie better that aren't actually what he was saying in
that's
the movie.
Great. That's great.
He changed the Nemoidian voices. He made it so that in Episode 3, Anakin kills...
Are those the racist, like... Asian stereotypes?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, and I can like, remember the name of the race. The Galactic Trade Federation guys.
Yep. Yeah. He made it so that he edited out the scene where Padme just dies because she gave up the will to live and makes it instead so Annie directly killed her. And then there were a couple other things he did, but basically he cut down just the unnecessary shit, the lightsaber battles that were way over the top, and made it as good of movies as they can be.
Nice. So. Also, please don't ever refer to Anakin Skywalker as
I know.
Annie
I was like,
again.
Are you an Anakin
I just
voice?
Two no, people. He says,
there's two people in Star Wars who refer to him as Annie. Padme, who everyone hates, and Jar Jar Binks,
that is,
who you just described
that
as,
is fair.
At his best.
And the reason I said Annie was I watched the basically how it should have ended has been doing a lead up to The Force Awakens by redoing all
I
the
saw
ri-
those.
Yeah. And there's a very fun game.
I saw that they had made them yet.
Well, the sand that you mentioned, they reference that scene and do it very well.
Oh, do
and
they?
She's like, this is getting weird, Annie. So his name's just,
gotcha.
It struck me as.
Max and him are boys. They're close.
Annie and Maxie.
Yeah. I will
you know
say,
how it is.
I'll say this. I agree. I think that one complaint just reading reviews was someone was like, I actually heard a couple of people say this, like, it was too close to the originals because it does. I mean, it does start kind of like episode
well, it,
four.
Well, it mirrors it.
Yeah.
It's literally the originals, but I mean, so are the prequels.
The way I looked at that is obviously they needed to hand off, pass the torch, whatever, to the new people. And I feel like it was their way of doing not necessarily a remake or a reboot, but kind of like a little tribute to the very original movie, A New Hope, and then kind of restart the series. And I feel like the next two movies are going to be entirely different.
I think so too.
Well, they have to be because it's not just A New Hope. It's A New Hope and a good portion of The Empire Strikes Back as well.
Yeah.
And on top of that, though, I think it has a lot less to... I think it's less what you're saying and more... They needed desperately to make good with the fans after the prequels.
And they did. I mean, I agree with that. Coming away from it, I felt like it was original and it did a good tribute and it felt like a Star Wars movie. I'll say this. I think, from what I remember about episode one, I just remember kind of coming out. And I got into Star Wars in like 97, I'd say. Isn't that when they like remastered all the old ones and stuff?
It was like 95, I think.
Okay.
Sure.
And
I could be mistaken on that.
And so that's like when I got into it, and I actually didn't know anything about it. So I was like the twist in five, like I didn't know that Vader was his father. I guess I didn't like my parents didn't tell me and my friends were with me. They were like all kind of getting into it too. And I really enjoyed those movies, and I'd say in order, I'd say five is my favorite. Four was better. I liked six way better than a lot of other people did. I thought it wrapped up the trilogy. It was not better than five. I don't know how you could top that out, but I thought it was fine. I actually liked that movie. It was that Henry just spitting at me? Or
are you talking about Return of the Jedi or Revenge of the Sith?
When he says six, he can only be talking about Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Okay, so not like the prequels.
No. I'm not talking about the prequels.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
well, you never know, because some people refer to Revenge of the Sith as six.
I would say it's pretty consistent that people say it's 5, 4, 6, 3, 1, 2.
Five, four, six. Yeah, I agree with that.
Sorry. For those of you who aren't as diehard, well, it's not even really diehard, but those of you who don't know them by the numbers, that's that would be Empire Strikes Back, A New Hope, Return of the Jedi, Revenge of the Sith, then The Phantom Menace, and then Clone Wars.
I have a confession to make. Yeah. So New Hope for me.
I swear to God, if you say you haven't seen one of the original.
No, I've seen them. But I
fly across this table and slap you.
I never understood why people regard Empire Strikes Back so highly, because that has always been in the bottom for me. And it just doesn't.
Well, I mean, because it has the best parts of the Star Wars story, the best directing.
I get the Hoth part, but I don't know.
It also has the twist of Star Wars,
which is an epic scene.
I know. I was always far more entertained by watching A New Hope or Return of the Jedi.
It introduced Yoda.
This is true.
I'm not downplaying the.
How could you possibly
the importance to
compared
the story,
to Return
but
of
just,
the Jedi?
As a movie, it just was so slow and boring to me.
Slow and boring.
Yeah, I don't know. That's just how I remember Empire Strikes Back.
I feel like you should see it again.
Yeah, I think
I have
to go
just
back
recently
the Carbonite.
Seen it, yeah.
Like, that's not boring.
Yeah, no, that's the best.
I'll say this about
Six had a sweet scene where he tells Jabba the Hutt he's going to kill him.
Six was garbage.
Get out of here. No, it wrapped it up.
Six was literally a platform for selling toys.
No, what? How?
Yes, literally.
I want to.
Okay,
well,
how
I mean,
about.
I, maybe you're right,
fine.
But I saw.
How about Endor was originally going to be set on Kashyyyk, the Wookiee homeworld? They were Wookiees. Ewok comes from Wookiee spelled backwards because George Lucas literally said he had merchandising rights for Star Wars, and he knew that Ewoks would sell better as toys to kids than Wookiees. So he screwed up the entire end of the Star Wars trilogy to sell toys to children.
Harrison Ford also said he wanted to be killed in
Empire
2. Because it would bring more weight to the character,
he doesn't like Star Wars.
And
I'll get to that in a second too. But
so Lucas kept him around in the third one specifically for Han Solo toys, and then
I think you're right. I guess I understand why it's kind of weird having little teddy bears.
Well,
but.
And on top of that, how about the fact that the teddy bears are killing the Imperial troops? Sticks. How about the fact that there's another Death Star? Wow. Brilliant originality.
Well,
guys.
I mean, there's a third Death Star.
Yeah, and that's one of the biggest complaints that people have about the movie.
Yeah.
If anything, that's the number one complaint.
Yeah, so, look, it'd be sweet to have, like, 1,000 Chewbaccas instead of these little bears running around.
Well, and then they did that in, what, Revenge of the Sith. They finally went to Kashyyyk.
Yeah. I could see why that would be better. I guess I didn't know the background on that it was originally supposed to be, you know, Wookiees and stuff like
Educate
that.
Educate yourself.
I've been educated.
Go to school, Tom.
I've been educated.
Go to Star Wars school.
At the same time, I thought it was funny seeing the little bear swinging around on the trees and stuff, but I'm easily amused. Whatever. I'm not saying that's better than 5. Five is definitely my favorite. 4 is definitely better than that one. I'd say
entitled to your opinion. Just because I disagree doesn't mean
But that does like piss me off that it could have been Wookiees.
I mean, I don't really see much besides the story arc coming to a close. Besides the ending.
Yeah.
I don't see really any value to that movie.
Well, let's get back to Awakens, though.
So, okay.
Why don't we do a quick, super brief overview of the actual plot?
All right, I got this. So, movie starts out, and you've got Poe, the new Resistance, which I'm not 100% clear on, pilot, landing on Jakku, looking for plans that will lead to the location
held
of Luke Skywalker.
Old wise man played by Max von Sydow.
Precisely. He then takes the plans, puts them into a droid because the Imperials, the New Order, have arrived and they are coming to find him and the plans, presumably, and then runs away and hides as they burn a Tusken Raider village to the ground. Then they have a really cool scene that was actually really well shot where the stormtroopers are burning down the village and we're introduced to Finn, the new black stormtrooper character that you've all seen in the trailers and in the movie, hopefully, if you're listening to this. And he has a very cool moment where he sees one of his fellow stormtroopers get shot down. And you can see he's having sort of a shell shock type experience. The dying stormtrooper actually reaches up and there's blood on his fingers and he wipes it on Finn's helmet, which was, I don't know about you guys, that hit me really hard. I was not even expecting that amount of violence in Star Wars.
Yeah.
I'm not used to seeing blood in Star Wars like that. And like,
That was very real moment to
that,
me.
That actually pulled me out of the scene because it just, I was like, well, he wasn't bleeding. And then, like, his hand wasn't in a place where it would have touched his body, and then all of a sudden it had blood on it. And, like, it just...
I'm not sure what you mean by that because he was out of frame. Like, the way he was laying, like, I presumed that he was bleeding from one of the gaps in his armor, so you couldn't see it because it's black.
Right, and that's what I presumed as well, but his hand just wasn't in an area where the blaster appeared to have hit. And also, like, there wasn't any blood on his armor. It just, poor editing slash.
Well, and you do know, like, there are rules for, like, people.
No, I know that. It just, it looked a little goofy. And to me, it was almost just over the top humor. And I kind of laughed because he's just like, oh,
I actually found that to be one of the strongest moments of the entire film.
I would say I did like that moment. I liked the scenes afterwards where he's. You can tell he has qualms about, like, what he's doing. And I thought they did a good job kind of showing him be aloof and all this, like, chaos going around.
Yes. So back to the synopsis. So Finn starts having second thoughts and chooses not to participate in the burning of the village. And the Poe, the resistance fighter pilot, runs away, finds cover, tries to fly off. They blow up his part of his ship, and then he decides to try and snipe at Kylo Ren, our new Sith Lord, who is just, I don't know about Lord, but our new Sith character, who has just descended from his cool new plane, which looks sweet. His ship is awesome. And he comes down, and we get to see our first new Jedi power. This is totally sweet. Yeah. So Poe tries to basically snipe Kylo Ren, and he uses the Force to catch the blaster bolt midair.
And it's just sitting there frozen.
So cool. It's just, like, vibrating in the air. They capture him. Bring him in to be interrogated, but the droid that he put the plans in gets away. Whoa, sound familiar? Crazy. So now this droid is on its way to try and find its way back to the Resistance so that they can get the location of Luke Skywalker. So the droid rolls off in the desert and runs into Rin, our new female protagonist, who is amazing. She is living on Jakku as, like, a sort of a slave scavenger type character. She is.
Isn't it Rey?
Sorry, what did I say?
Oh, Ren.
Sorry, yes, Rey. She's a scavenger on Jakku, and basically you see her pillaging, like, an old Rebel and Empire battlefield. She, like, goes inside of a Star Destroyer at the beginning of it.
Which you can see how it came to be if you play Battlefront.
Yeah, or wow. You could just, you know. Use your brain. They fell out of the sky, you guys. It's crazy. But then she, you know, her story gets established a little bit more, and then she runs into, is it B-88?
BB-8.
BB-8, thank you. BB-8, the droid with the plans. She protects him from another scrapper who wants to scrap him for parts and then sell the parts off. He becomes her friend. Then the plot thickens a little bit from there. She meets Finn, who has, I've jumped ahead now. It's almost a little convoluted how much they packed into this.
Well, we probably don't need to do a play-by-play. Yeah.
Okay,
but just,
so really quickly, Finn and Poe escape the planet together. Finn defects from the...
On the Millennium Falcon.
First Order. Finn and Rey escape Jakku together. Poe and Finn get shot down after escaping from their space station, and Poe disappears for a while.
Yeah.
But yes, so then they get the Millennium Falcon. They meet Chewie and Han Solo,
who appear magically out of nowhere.
Yes, there's a fun little action scene with some of the worst CGI in the movie, which we can talk about in a minute here. And then...
Still is pretty good for bad CGI, though.
Yeah, I guess. And then beyond that, that's when the plot really opens up. Everyone finds out about the plans. Rey finds out that she is a Jedi. She starts to have visions of like Jedi visions like Luke had in the original trilogy, and she finds Luke's lightsaber. Do you guys remember the name of the planet that they're on for that?
Tell us.
It's a cantina type planet, basically, and that is where Luke's lightsaber has been being kept, which this was a bit of a MacGuffin moment.
Fun fact about that scene. So when she touches the lightsaber, she has these visions of things that have transpired, things that are going to, and kind of, you know, what her powers entail. And there's voices, and a lot of people didn't catch the voices, but there are voices talking to her in the vision. They brought back the voice actor of Yoda, the original Obi-Wan, and Ewan McGregor to reprise his role.
That's pretty
and,
cool.
And, yeah, they were the ones speaking to her. New lines. It wasn't, like, captured from the old movies.
I didn't realize that. That's rad.
Yeah. So,
Cool. So she gets her lightsaber, sort of. She doesn't actually take it. She refuses it because she's freaked out from the visions. Finn takes it to bring it to her, and then stuff really hits the fan because both the goodness, both the Resistance and the New Order have both discovered that BB-8 is on the planet. So they all send their troops. The New Order captures Rey. And BB-88 gets away with the Resistance, and then there's a whole that's when it goes to the sort of the climax, which is trying to rescue Rey, but also the new Starkiller base has been introduced,
right.
Which Starkiller base is another Death Star. This time it's in a planet, and I have serious qualms with this base, but this is how they explain that it works. It sucks all the energy out of a star, and then shoots it out into multiple beams that can destroy multiple planets at once. It's another Death Star. They use it to destroy a bunch of Republic fleets or planets.
So what they do is they destroy what is implied to be the Republic's central core planets,
yeah,
where the government is.
Which is a little weird because we don't know really anything about this new Republic.
We know nothing about where they're located or anything.
Well, and we also have literally no investment. We don't know any of the characters.
Right.
We don't know what their role
really
is right now in the conflict.
Feel anything when they blow those planets up.
Really, you only know they exist like 20 minutes before they get wiped out, apparently. So.
Right.
That was another minor weakness.
But it's not like they blew up Alderaan, which was one planet that didn't matter. They blew up, like, the core, and which it gets back to the basics of why it's just a small resistance again.
Exactly. So, from there, they go to rescue Rey. We find out that Kylo Ren is the grandson of Darth Vader. He is Leia and Han's son. He was originally trained by Luke when he was found to be force sensitive, and apparently something happened during his training and he turned away from the light side.
Yeah, basically it sounds like he was very obsessed with his ancestry, thought that Vader was more powerful and the right way to go, and he apparently...
I'm guessing that there was some kind of Anakin-style trauma where he wasn't powerful enough to save someone that triggered it, or something like that.
I don't know, because like there's that scene where he was worshiping Darth Vader's mask and talking to Darth Vader, and I feel like he just got influenced by, other powers that he
No, I hear
about.
You. I'm just wondering if that didn't start until after he started his Sith training. Like, I know he had Darth Vader's helmet, but when he was with Luke.
It's in the books. Like, I'd recognize his name.
Wait, what?
Like, there's Star Wars books, and I recognize...
Those aren't considered canon.
Oh, yeah, they're not.
Unless you're talking about the ones that came out this year, those are not canon.
Okay, because I do recognize the name, and that's... I guess.
Well, so
also, I'm pretty sure Kylo Ren was a new character.
Kylo Ren is a new character, but his real name Ben Solo. So he's supposed to be a mix of Anakin, Luke's son, and Han's either son or.
It's like Anakin. There's Anakin, Ben, and one other, and then they have a daughter too, right? In the expanded
universe.
Yeah,
somewhere in there, I think.
Leia. I mean, it's not Leia, but I don't remember. But, anyways, expanded universe. I really don't want to get into that because it's very confusing. Because the similarities are there, but they're not.
Sure, that's going to be clarified though.
Well, and the reason that they decided none of it's canon is so they can just do whatever they want.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think all the people who are like, well, I know what's going to happen because I've read Expanded Universe, I think that they're kidding themselves and they just want to feel
What do you guys think of Kylo Ren? A lot of people have already taken to calling him Darth.
Well, let me just really quick finish this synopsis so we can really get into these topics. So basically, Kylo Ren is Han Solo's son. Han Solo and Finn and Chewbacca go down to Starkiller Base to rescue Rey, and also to destroy the base, to turn off the shield generator so that the Resistance can blow up the base. So they go down there, and while they're down there, after saving Rey, after Rey saves herself and then they find her, they run into Kylo Ren. Han goes out to him to try to convince him to come home, and big spoiler, he stabs Han and kills him but drops him off one of those endless pit walkways.
But thanks him for ending the trauma that has been tearing him apart.
Maybe. It's debatable what he's thanking him for. We can talk about that too. But, so then after that, they successfully get away, destroy the base, and we see at the very end of the movie, we get to see Rey and Chewbacca take the Millennium Falcon over to the planet with the original Jedi Temple that Luke has been hiding out on. Oh, right at the end of the movie, R2-D2 reactivates out of the blue, kind of a bit of a Deus Ex Machina moment. And
was it, though? Because I have some thoughts on that.
That's cool. We can talk about those, too. But basically, he has the rest of the map to Luke, and so they combine that with BB-8's map, and ta-da, she knows where to go. And so the movie ends with her going back to meet Luke, and it's just them, a really cool shot of them standing on like an island on a sort of ocean planet with Rey holding out Luke's old lightsaber to him and him just staring at her. Very cool. All right. Let's get into the nitty-gritty a little bit. I apologize, you guys. I know that that wasn't the best synopsis ever. It's just it was a bit of a convoluted plot.
What do you say we tackle the biggest complaints of the movie so far? Share our thoughts on that.
Sure. So, do you have
I do.
Sure.
I do.
Go ahead.
So just going to rattle them off. They're
Why don't we just do them one at a time?
Okay. So they're mainly about Rey. But the first one is she knows how to fight with a lightsaber very well. And pretty much hands Kylo Ren's butt to him.
I don't think that those were really complaints that I've heard, but I mean I certainly would. I mean, I think those are both very easily justifiable. I think,
but are they? Because yes, I know that she had her staff and some melee training and stuff. But
well,
she
and
was,
furthermore, she's not like a pro with the lightsaber. She's just barely using it. I mean,
well,
she's,
I don't know, because they got back to, I know that they wanted to focus less on the prequels, like sword fighting all over the place, and more so on like heavy hitting hard blows
from
the originals.
Well, yes and no. We don't necessarily know that that's the case yet. We have yet to see a single fully trained Jedi or Sith fight with a lightsaber. We've seen a Jedi Sith with incomplete training and a scrapped together lightsaber fail in a battle against her after being shot in the stomach by Chewie.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And I'm in agreement with you.
And getting cut up by Finn. And also, she's also force sensitive, which means she's a bit of a precog. Like, she has a spider sense.
Right, but she needs Star Wars, the universe has such a huge focus on training and nurturing these skills and just meditation. And she just instantly gets everything.
That's actually
right
not
off the
true.
Bat.
Star Wars has a focus on meditating and training to make your lightsaber. And that's the big thing, is that only a Jedi can make a lightsaber, but anybody can turn on a lightsaber.
No, but even using
sword.
The force powers, like when she got the guy to drop the gun without any training or knowing how to use the force.
I mean, that's the only force
fun fact
power
that was Daniel
that
Craig in that
thing,
suit.
Isn't it? That's funny. Isn't that the only force power she even uses in the movie?
Well, she taps in during the lightsaber fight as well to make herself just freakishly strong and fast and just
maybe we
Uber
think
Jedi
or
mode.
She was just centering herself, you know. I mean, that's an assumption there. We don't actually, it's not like we see her like crack.
But if they don't spell it out, we have to read into what they provide us.
Yes and no. You want it to just don't run with it. That's all.
All right.
But I'm just saying, here's the thing. Okay. We've seen that she has training with melee weapons. She's actually quite a good fighter with melee weapons. We don't have any like definitive canon that says only an extremely well-trained Jedi can use a lightsaber. We saw Luke using a lightsaber he was training with one already in A New Hope and using it.
Yeah, and he only had that little floating droid
He's also a farmhand.
Right. And again, a lot of this I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. And I'm also speaking to the internet at large when I say this. The other thing is, Kylo Ren lost for a variety of reasons. First and foremost being, people need to stop with the, like, he's supposed to be the big bad Sith, and they already defeated him. He's just it's like, you guys, he's not supposed to be the big bad Sith. That's what's his name? Snoke is supposed to be.
Right.
He is supposed to be a failed Jedi. That's all he is. He's not a Sith.
This movie was a huge success for the New Order. It wasn't a win for the Resistance by any means. They blew up all their core planets. Sure, they lost their Starkiller base, but that's a pretty small deal.
I don't even know really what they've done to the Republic, like, because we don't have a clear understanding of this. Was one of my biggest pet peeve with the film was
no context.
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I needed more politics after the prequels. I know,
I know,
but listen. I don't understand why the resistance exists and it's not the rebellion anymore. I don't know what, I still don't really know what happened to the empire, but now it's the new order. Right. The Republic is apparently back and then gone right away, which I didn't even know they came back. If they did, how, like, did they have any control? Are you able to wipe them out with seven shots? Cause that's all they fired from that. You can see it splitting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, there, I have many, many, many questions that I don't feel like have been answered, which does, that is my biggest beef with the film, was a lack of backstory.
Right.
Like, I really want, and don't, I know people are going to say read the books. I tried reading those books.
Pretty bad.
They are written like fan fiction. They are garbage.
Yeah, I read them when I was a kid.
No.
No, you didn't.
Oh.
The second
modern
time.
Gotcha. Books, yes, that are gotcha. Not We're talking canon. That are canon.
Yes. Okay, so sorry. Continue so that I can get really mad.
Yes, she instantly knows what to do with electronics, regardless of the vehicle or space station or whatever she is in.
I mean, she's Anakin's, like, or, well, we don't know this yet, but she's related to Anakin, okay? Like, it's pretty clear that she's either related to Kylo Ren or to Luke.
I believe both. She's Luke's daughter, Kylo's cousin.
I don't know.
I think that's
Jedi
right.
Jedi are supposed to, I think you guys are right, but Jedi are supposed to be celibate.
Like, when has there ever been a celibate Jedi?
Every single Jedi that's not Anakin.
That's always a little
literally
side
every
story.
Jedi that's like, not Anakin. If you're talking expanded universe, it doesn't count.
Well, I'm talking even Clone Wars.
Like what?
I don't know. There's Obi-Wan some Jedi with kid. Obi-Wan. Considered leaving the Jedi Order
did,
for this woman, and
didn't.
I don't know if he
and he would have had to left
not,
the Je- he would have had to have left the Jedi Order,
right? Well, I'm just saying, there's
I got you.
You never know.
I have presumed that that's one of the reasons there's always so few Jedi in the galaxy, is because they don't reproduce. Because as
Which
we've
seems
seen,
like a
flaw.
Terrible way to keep yeah. Force sensitive people
flaw,
around.
Flaw, well, flaw maybe, in the system.
I don't know. Maybe it's a control thing. I don't know.
Right.
But anyways,
you know, but. That's really the last of the complaints, I suppose.
Really?
But,
none of those covered any of my complaints.
Well, other than, I guess, the biggest one was that it was an exact copy of the New Hope storyline, and that,
that
there was a third
less.
Death Star, and they blew
the
it up
Death
right
Star
away.
Death Star is what really bothered yeah. me. They didn't blow it up right away, but
well,
they...
Exact. There's a big button that they had to
yeah.
shoot some missiles at,
there were
and there
certain
was even a
scenes,
trench run.
Like, the scene where they are planning how to blow it up, they introduce, like, 15 new pieces of information and then solve, like, four problems in one 10-minute scene. It's A New Hope. The entire arc of the story in A New Hope is blowing up the first Death Star. The whole reason that the plans are set in motion is to get the plans for the Death Star, to then look through the plans, then try to suss out a weakness, then if they find it, have a meeting to exploit it. They literally are like, hey, we should probably have a meeting about this new weapon. Right. They're like, what are we going to do? Well, it's covered in shields, so we can't just blow it up. But if we could get the shields down, significant force to the outside, it's just like, oh, so it's worse than the Death Star. You don't even have to shoot down like a tube or anything. It's like a terrible version of the Death Star from Return of the Jedi, which has less security measures than...
Which you'd think the Empire would learn by now.
Yeah,
but,
also...
Speaking of plans, Rogue One, next year, it's going to be a prequel about how they obtained the Death Star plans to
yeah.
blow it up in the first place.
It's going to be a Boba Fett movie. We'll see how that goes.
Well, yeah. Well, Boba Fett's the following movie.
What is that, Jango Fett?
No. Next year's Rogue One, which is about...
I thought... Isn't Rogue One his ship?
No. Rogue One is the Rebel fleet.
Oh, what is the name of his ship? Oh, Slave One.
Yeah,
is
Slave
his
One.
Ship. That's
Slave
why.
One.
I'm sorry. Yep. I'm sorry. Sounded similar. Fair. But yeah, I mean, that's cool. But my point is that they compressed like an entire movie's
oh, yeah.
worth of story into this like unnecessarily.
The pacing was a bit all over the place.
Yeah,
sometimes.
That scene in particular, though, like really grated on
right.
me. So I wanted to hit a couple of points of discussion here. So first off, I wanted to talk about the writing. Oh my God. The writing for these characters is so good. It's some of the best writing I've seen, like, ever. Like, seriously?
Yeah.
The writing, especially for Finn and Rey and Poe, is incredible. Some of the best acting and writing combinations I've ever seen. They're all extremely charismatic. Poe and Finn have a bromance that I was jealous of that forms over the course of a 3-minute scene. Like, I don't understand.
Which scene?
It's when they first meet each other. They okay. are immediately besties. And I'm like, I want to be besties with those guys. They seem awesome.
They'll let you in.
The only, I agree 99%. The scene that took me out of it, though, was after Rey and Finn fly the Falcon for the first time and shoot down the TIE fighters. Yeah. And then they, like, have their little reunion and recap in the, I don't know, living room of the Millennium Falcon. And they're both, like, trying to talk at the same time, super excited. And they're like, oh, my gosh, that was so cool. Did you see what you did? Did you see what I did? And it just, like, felt kind of forced and hokey and just poorly written slash acted.
Interesting. I thought that was kind of a real moment, but I guess to each their own.
Yeah, it felt very forced.
I mean, I've had that literally that moment with friends after like
right, and I get what they were going for. Just it came off very poorly done.
I had this. With that scene not as much, but I thought about it with when they actually capture the stormtrooper or whatever, and Finn gets at like in his face and is like, you know, you're mine now, bitch, or whatever.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And Han Solo is like, cool it, kid.
Her,
like,
right? You mean Phasma, take it down. Right?
What now?
Do you mean Phasma?
The Silver Lady? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So,
which they built that up into such a huge character, and she didn't do anything other than lower a base shield, and she did it right away super easily and just caved. And
that's
because,
like, the whole
baby.
Second movie is supposed to be, like, heavily about her, apparently.
Okay.
The whole seventh or eighth movie, I guess.
Interesting.
But, yeah. Apparently, she plays a very heavy role, everybody keeps saying, in the next movie.
I bet I know what she does. Sorry.
But I got what they were getting at with that scene. It just didn't feel perfectly executed. Like, it seemed like it was, I don't know. Like, sure. I kind of got what it was. I was just kind of, okay.
Okay, fair. Yeah. I mean, fair. I loved all the characters. In particular, I want to give a shout-out to Rey and her writers, whoever, like, oh, my God. This has got to be one of the best female characters I've ever seen in a movie in my entire life. I mean,
no, they did a great job.
She's fantastic. She is just a character. They don't make a point of being like, I'm not one of the boys, or being like, I am one of the guys, or I can stand up for him. It was all like, she shows through experience and really well-written character.
There's a little bit of that, though.
Like, no, there really isn't.
She tells Finn to stop holding her hand,
you mean
and
when
keeps holding
it. You mean when they're on her home planet that she's lived on her whole life among these dunes, and she's running away from the people she knows and he's never met before, and she's like, I can handle
No, I know. It's just like they had to spell it out that, like, she's not the damsel in
distress. No, they didn't, I didn't think. I thought they had to spell out that Finn had to be deprogrammed from his expectations. I thought that was about Finn's character.
Well, I don't know how
hers.
Finn could have any expectations if he was
socially,
like,
programmed.
Well,
like,
socially programmed
Nazi.
How? To be chivalrous? Because I'm
presumably.
Pretty sure the First Order wasn't really all about that.
Well,
if you're a stormtrooper.
Have you ever seen a stormtrooper around a female Imperial officer?
Phasma, when
Phasma
was yelling at him for taking his helmet off.
I'd say they're pretty dang respectful.
I didn't see any hand holding, though.
Look, I'm just saying, I don't think that. I thought that that scene was actually really well done. That moment I really liked, which is why I bring it up. But
he did ask if she had a boyfriend, though.
Yeah, because he's crushing on her.
So there was we'll continue and then we'll
I guess
it's just super cheesy and forced.
It's like
he just,
like,
met her
anything
and then
that
he
makes you slightly uncomfortable.
No,
you,
I wasn't uncomfortable. I was just expecting.
Well, that's the second scene, though,
I'm not
in the movie
a fan.
That you've been like, it's,
I don't
forced.
Think,
and I'm,
yeah,
like, I don't think it is forced.
All right, I don't think the chemistry between Finn and Rey is everything that people are making it out to be.
There's a reason that everyone is talking about how good their chemistry is.
Yeah, well, I disagree.
Okay, I guess you must be a pro on chemistry.
I didn't think Finn was that great of a character.
You're crazy. You're nuts.
He
was most people's favorite character.
I thought they were good characters, but I agree with you. There was, I mean, maybe it's just a movie. I'm used to playing video games that are really long, and it takes forever for, like, a relationship to build or whatever. But I did, like, at one point, I was like, man, they got, like, really close really fast. And it wasn't with Poe and Finn. You go, okay, that happens with guys. Do you get what I'm saying? And it might honestly be just the pacing of the movie. Like,
I mean, they had more character development between the two of them than any other characters in the film. I don't know what.
Well,
I have no idea.
Much.
What
there
you
was
guys
no
are
other character
about.
To follow with. I just I don't think Finn
what
is
are you
that
talking?
Great.
Yes, there are.
Of a character.
There was like 10 major characters in that film.
Well, like who
all had major plot developments with them and stuff,
and they did a good job with Finn, him looking up to Han Solo, and I thought that was a funny dynamic where the one point where he calls him Solo and he goes, what do you call me Solo for?
Everyone keeps talking about how Finn is gonna be like the new Han Solo and this rogue character that's gonna like just be the dashing hero to follow, and I didn't get that from him at all.
I don't think he's going to be that, and I don't think they're positioning him to be that. No. I disagree with that. I mean, remember too, like, Don't change your expectations based on other people's guesses at what's
going
to happen.
Well, I'm sticking by my initial opinion, but you're
defending him against a ghost opinion. That's what I'm getting at. Is like, I don't think anybody think that if anyone's going to be the new Han Solo, it's obviously Rey, the one who's, you know, partners with Chewbacca already and was
new Luke Skywalker.
And she's obviously going to be the new Han Solo too.
I mean, two characters.
God forbid they create new characters.
She can fill two roles.
That's actually what I liked, is that they created new characters, and that
I hope Chewie's not sticking around for the whole trilogy.
No. Where I'm going with this is, like, as much as the plot obviously was very similar to 4, I felt like these were new characters, and it was actually a breath of fresh air. Like, I can get what you're saying, how they have certain, like, aspects of characters from the past, but instead of literally creating a new Luke Skywalker, creating a new Han Solo, or creating a new Leia or whatever, these guys just seem to have their own aura and their own purpose.
Yeah, they kind of split them because, I mean, like...
Share the roles?
Well, I mean, so Rey is very Anakin, like very early Anakin. She's a pro with electronics, and she's really powerful in the Force. When I look at Finn, I see Han Solo's charm, but Poe is the expert pilot between the three of them. Finn is the last person that's going to be inheriting the Millennium Falcon, I could be dead wrong. They could go that direction, but his character is the least positioned to do so.
Well, because he's in a coma.
And because he's not a good pilot, which we've established.
He's not good at anything.
Yeah, exactly. So he is the roguish, you know, charming guy. That is his role right now. I'm sure he's going to grow into being a general in the resistance. I don't think at all that he's positioned to be a smuggler or anything like that.
Isn't Poe kind of who's that guy who was Luke's friend like in Episode 4?
Wedge.
Yeah, isn't it?
He's like, kind of Wedge-like.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I guess that's kind of. I liked him
when I first
When
I first like heard him and saw his ship, I was like, "Is that Wedge? No, that can't be. Maybe it's his son." Like,
I figured he'd be the Han Solo kind of
Poe.
Expert pilot, which he already is, and
maybe I'm torn though.
I mean,
he seems a little bit too goody-goody.
The three are going to go on an adventure together.
I think that they're all facets of those characters. Yeah. Is what I was getting at.
Also, he was originally killed off, and then JJ liked him so much they kept him around.
I was bummed that he got like when I thought he was killed off,
I was bummed too. He's a great character.
Yeah.
So that was the next thing I wanted to talk about after writing was characters. So. Oh, actually, though, there's one last thing I wanted to touch on in writing. This was my other big complaint about the film, and maybe you guys disagree. I hated the scene where Finn and Poe are escaping from the space station.
Where they were stuck on the tether?
First of all, I don't think it's a tether. I thought it was a tether at first, which was one of my biggest complaints, but after making fun of it while talking to a couple people, they've informed me that they think it was refueling.
Oh, yeah.
Which would make more sense.
That's.
However... First of all, it was very cartoony looking, them flying around, like,
and getting stuck to it.
Yeah. Also, Finn, a deep character who's trying to break free from social programming, and his main reason is because he wants to do good, murders, like, 200 of his fellow soldiers.
That's true.
Till, like, an hour before that scene, those were, like, his best friends.
Right.
He murders, like, that central command area without a second thought. Like, all they needed
was... And he was so scarred by his friend.
Yeah, exactly. All they needed was a quick thing where he goes, I can't do this, it's not right. And then Poe going, like, it's us or them. And that would have been fine. It would have been like, okay, whatever. That makes sense. At least he said something. But I did think it felt a little out of character for him to just be like, okay, let's just kill them all then.
Also, he lied about being a sanitation officer on the Starkiller base if he was like a drop ship trooper for making raids.
You got to give that a pass. I think that was just a terrible joke, kind of, by the writers. But yeah.
Well, right. But I think
You never know, though. For all we know, maybe you'd have to put in like a certain amount of
duty.
Maybe you have to put in a certain amount of like a role at like a crap job like that before you become. I don't know. Anyways, that does it for writing characters. We've already talked about Finn. We talked about Poe. Do you guys want to mention anything else about the three main characters? Otherwise, I want to talk about Kylo.
Yeah, let's talk about Kylo.
Okay, what did you guys think of Kylo Ren?
Can I throw like a super hot take out there? All right, I will later.
Go for it, Tom.
The lightsaber wasn't that cool. It really was not. Like I don't know why they like.
Well,
no one
liked the cross hilt being like lightsaber.
The explanation behind it.
At least they justified it a little bit.
Yeah.
Like they show him like stabbing people in the shoulder with it a couple times.
Yeah, that was cool that he used it, I guess. But like, it's still the explanation was that it's such a powerful lightsaber that those are side vents where the excess energy has to shoot out the side.
Which they should have looked different, though, then. It should have just been, like, fire or something.
Yeah.
But then I will say, though, what I did like about his, like, because, you know, it's a cobbled-together design or whatever, I really liked that the lightsaber was out of phase. Like, I liked that you could see that it wasn't
that's right, perfectly sharp.
So it was like kind of flowing out. Because
he made it himself.
Exactly. Well he do, like amateur style though.
And I was gonna say, like, so maybe that's a lukewarm take. Maybe not as hot as I thought. I will say one redeeming value I have too from episode one was Darth Maul was sweet, and that fight was awesome. And like, I loved how they like I love that moment where he turns on one side and then you see the other one, and just kind of what you could do with a double sided lightsaber.
Spoiler alert, Darth Maul's not dead. But anyways.
But I guess I thought maybe they were going for that effect, and maybe that
I thought Kylo was very well done. I don't think he's as whiny as people made him out to be. I like the idea of the Knights of Ren. I like the idea that he trashed Skywalker's attempt to restore the Jedi. And I feel like the Knights of Ren might be some converts left over from that initial Jedi training that Luke was trying to do.
Maybe.
I was bummed that the vision... I was bummed that the scene of the Knights of Ren was just a vision, not an actual part of the movie, because I wanted to see them in action.
Sure.
I think it's cool how they wrote his motivations. I think he was well done, pretty fleshed out. And then parting thought on Kylo Ren, I like how they incorporated the humor, like when he's having his fits of rage and the stormtroopers are walking around the corner and they're like, oh, maybe we should just turn around and head the other way. Like, they're acknowledging that it's not so over the top that the other people around there are just going to ignore it.
Sure. I really liked Kylo as well. I think they did a fantastic job casting him too, because, oh my God, spitting image of Han Solo.
That's really good. Yeah.
But I did have one big, there was one actually in his big scene. I had one issue in the scene where he's killing his dad. I did not really buy his performance in that scene super strongly. I didn't think it was bad performance, but maybe it was the writing in this case. I really thought what I thought was going to happen didn't happen. I knew he was going to kill Han. He didn't feel conflicted enough to me. Like, it felt almost like I didn't feel like they wanted me to think he was tricking Han at all.
I don't think he was tricking Han.
I don't think Han had the if you look at the look on his face when the lightsaber turns on,
No, I don't think he went into that intending to kill him.
See,
can I bring up a point here? How does he not sense him with the Force? Like, your dad's cruising around.
He did sense him with the Force. That's why he walked out on the bridge to lure him out there.
Actually, sensed Rey. It's because Jedi can only sense other Force.
Oh, really? Okay. I thought they could just... Oh, okay.
Think through all the Star Wars. Have you ever heard a Jedi be like, you know, Grand Moff Tarkin's here? Like, it's always like...
No, but I thought they could sense when people are around.
I know this feeling, and it's like, oh, that's because it's Luke.
No, because they landed, and he actually says Han Solo.
Kylo Ren, you're right.
So you think he went out there to lure him on? I thought he was just cruising around.
Well, why else would he walk across?
And also, that design sucks. Why are there not railings on that?
That's a Star Wars trope. Your favorite battle you were just talking about is entirely based on there not being railings.
True. But
I will say that imagery, literally everyone in the theater knew what was going to happen when they saw that bridge.
Oh, right.
That was a little too predictable.
I expected that Han was going to die as soon as he signed up for the mission and Leia said, bring our son home.
I'm wrong, but this is how I would have written that scene. I would have had everything the same up until Han and him are like standing right in front of each other and he's got the lightsaber in his hand. And I would have had him tell Han, I can't change. Would you kill me? And then when Han said no, then if he killed Han. I think that would have been much more impactful.
For me, I guess, connecting the dots really quick. So he is talking to Vader's helmet earlier, and he's like, give me the strength to be like you, who I need to be, whatever. And
sort of, yeah. I don't know if he was talking to Vader's helmet so much as giving himself like a pep talk.
Right, but I feel like I got the vibe that he was talking to Vader using the Force, kind of like just putting it out there.
Okay.
Kind of like
I disagree, but sure.
Okay, well, I guess at the end of I'm
willing to roll with the premise.
Yeah,
so
basically, I just in my mind I was like, oh well, kind of like how Yoda communed with Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, and how
Well, but they got answers.
No, I know. That's the thing. So maybe he just assumes that Vader's out there listening because he doesn't know that Vader, whatever. Anyways, I feel like they connected the dots where he's emotionally torn because of his family and he doesn't know if he's strong enough to be the Sith or what he's doing or if it's the right thing. And then that's why he's having all these fits of rage or part of it. And then he talks to Han and he's like, I thought he was actually going to give himself up briefly. And I think he thought that too. And then as soon as Han grabs the lightsaber, he's like, I can do this. And he thanks him for getting him over that like emotional turmoil he was facing and then kills Han.
Maybe.
To like seal the deal.
I think that, I think Snoke told him, until you rid yourself of the relics of your past life, I won't complete your training. I think he was thanking Han because now he could become, leaving his conflicted self behind.
Right, and I'm agreeing with you.
Well, no, but I don't think that he's thanking Han because Han touched the lightsaber. I don't think.
No, he's thanking Han because he was able to.
I don't think he or Han were in any way influenced with Han's hands.
No. I'm not saying that at all. That Han touching it. I'm just saying that the moment when he grabbed it was when he was like, all right, I'm gonna kill him.
Sure. Yeah, fair.
Just two
stop
things.
Asking for permission and just talk.
You guys are just talking, I'm just jumping in. I can't see you through the computer. But with Han Solo, I feel like you could just tell with Harrison Ford's acting, like he was not into it. Like he wanted to. The impression I got, like some of the lines were delivered well or whatever, but you could almost tell in the beginning.
I completely disagree.
No, I'm with Tom on this. Everyone kept saying how like
he gave a great performance, and it was his last, probably because he knew it was his last one. That was. Are you kidding me? He stepped back into that role like he never left it. He was Han Solo.
It still felt a little like old guys trying to force his role again.
It was an old guy.
No, I know, but
to be clear, that's literally what Han Solo's character is in the movie. He's an old guy trying to force his role again. That's literally what his character is.
That's fine.
Is.
And it's not the lines he delivered. I just, like, I got the impression it's like he doesn't want to be running around anymore. Like, I don't know. It was the way
he's
acted.
He's been like that in all his movies.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess it sounds like you guys' complaint is that he's old.
No, it's not that. It's just, it felt like. It wasn't that good of a performance. It felt like he was phoning it in because he's just back because he has to wrap up the
really
movie.
I strongly disagree, but that's fine. You're entitled to your
I just
opinion.
Got the impression they were kind of going to kill him off, and I didn't even think
I'm not saying his entire thing was phoned in, but like a lot of it was just like all the constant Chewie jokes. It was like, we get it, you're Han Solo. I don't know, that's just it kind
of
like
they
the
added
back
like
and,
a little bit of a joke about how like
I know
the reason
just,
he's so bad with the blaster is because he had the wrong type of weapon and they have
the bowcaster was sweet.
Yeah,
will,
that was a great joke. Like I don't know. I think you guys are being a little hard on. I think if you maybe, well, I've only seen it once too. Maybe we'll.
All right, I plan on seeing it again.
We'll change our minds once
we get
to see
it another
time. All right, I want to keep this moving because we do not have infinite time here. Twists. How did you guys feel about the twists? There were a couple of minor ones and then the one big one, obviously. Don't make me list them.
Was it when Han died? Was that a twist?
That's the big one.
Okay.
Yes.
What were the little twists? Rey being a Jedi?
I literally just asked
you. Oh, okay. Well, here's the thing is
Rey being a Jedi, the Star Killer.
I went
base,
into the movie
the fact that the Sith still exists. Like there were many little twists.
Well, I mean, I don't know that those are really twists. Oh, I think God. We knew the Sith existed.
Look,
still,
I'm not going to get into a GD
No, I know.
You,
I'm not
okay?
I'm not
just
that's
stop.
Not how I'm
you're the one in a hurry.
That.
Let's keep it
That's
moving,
not how I'm
okay?
intending that. I'm saying that I don't think those are twists and I also when
they are, would they be considered a spoiler? Then yes. It's
no, I'm saying that's a known plot point that the Sith and the
Rey being a Jedi, not a known.
I went
plot
in
point.
Assuming that.
Yeah,
she was
congratulations, she would people who have not seen Star Wars in 20 years are not going in there thinking that she's a Jedi.
Well, most
people thought that Finn was the Jedi because he's shown. Yes, they did. Just because you, me, and Tom. New because we're giant Star Wars nerds doesn't mean you can be like it was obvious to everyone.
I don't even
think
I can call myself a giant Star Wars nerd. I think
you're
they were
a
just
huge
trying,
Star Wars
no.
nerd. Yes,
I just
you
think
are.
They were trying too hard with their advertising campaign to make it seem like he was the Jedi. And
congratulations, you're very clever. It's like the whole thing. There was a huge outrage that he wasn't the Jedi after the movie.
I thought there was a huge outrage that he was the Jedi.
Nope.
Yeah.
No.
There are a lot of people upset about him going to be the Jedi instead of her.
No, they were outraged that he was a stormtrooper.
That was going to, like, convert to the Jedi?
No, that he was not a clone.
Oh, well, the clones were dumb. Okay.
Look, stop it. I'm telling you what other people were saying.
No, I know.
Stop trying to argue with
me. I'm not arguing with you.
You're infuriating. They're not here to argue with you, so stop.
That is fair.
Like, for crying out loud.
Tom,
no, I thought the plot twist, especially the big one, was good. Maybe it's just me with Harrison Ford, and maybe I'm going in with presumptions too, because I knew he wanted to be killed off in 5. I thought they also ended the movie very well with, okay, you got to Luke, and I'm still interested what happens in the next two movies.
It was a good cliffhanger.
Yeah,
I thought it was very Empire-esque.
A lot of people worried about that, though. Bob was talking about this, and he said, you know, like, I don't want to see it because of the cliffhanger. I was like, no, you will be satisfied with the cliffhanger and want to see more movies.
I kept thinking they were going to end the movie before finding Luke. I thought they were going to end it when she returned to whatever the name of the planet was.
I kind of thought about that.
I would have been okay with that, honestly, but if they just had, like, R2... like, wake up at the end of the movie instead.
Oh, and that's the other thing I was going to say. So
that was some Deus Ex Machina BS.
I don't think it was, because they intentionally showed R2-D2 and BB-8 together when R2-D2 wasn't activated, so they were showing that him having the map in his presence. Well, I don't think it was. I think it was them proving that, like, oh, the two map pieces are together. That's not what's going to activate R2. R2, I think, was either activated by Luke, or he was activated by Rey's presence being Force-sensitive, and then...
So you're saying R2-D2 can detect Force-sensitive people?
I'm saying
people?
Luke did something to it.
If Luke did anything, why didn't he just call them and be like, yo, I'm on this planet, because now you're ready? If
I'm saying
that they were going to be ready at a certain
time. Find out, but I'm just saying like that. Like,
I know, but that's the excuse that I've heard from other people, too, and I think that's weak. Like,
what could the other explanation be? R2 just decided to turn
on? Deus Ex Machina. We needed to move the plot forward. It was a dumb idea anyways. Why did they have R2 with... part of the, like, it was,
oh yeah,
weird.
that's what we got to talk about. No, R2 had Luke programmed R2 to have most of the map, and it was going to be ready for Luke's daughter when she was of age to become a Jedi, because when Luke, this is my totally off the
okay
rails,
let's
here.
Be clear,
this is me guessing the plot. So I feel like Max von Sydow's character, whose name I don't remember, was very wise, and he's the guy who had the map piece at the start of the movie on
Jakku.
Oh,
the old man.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's this old wise guy that was left on the planet with Rey to look after her while she grew up. And when she was old enough, he was going to give her the map piece to find her father to join the Jedi, because Luke was off.
Why did she get left with the slavers by
a spaceship
then?
When shit fell apart and Luke failed miserably at reinstating the Jedi Order, he wanted her to be safe and left her there.
You think he would leave her with slave
100%.
Traders?
Well, I don't think they were... all slave traders.
She was literally sobbing and being pulled by a neck
chain. Yeah, wouldn't you, if you were left behind and all sad?
She was chained, wasn't she?
Yeah, but I feel like this old guy, and this is just me.
I know.
We don't know the backstory,
obviously.
But
I'm
just
trying to
clarify.
That's why, okay, I know this is impossible, but in my head, the thing that it should be, and I know this is dumb, and I know a lot of people would disagree, and it's obviously not the case, but my brain really wants her to be Kylo Ren's daughter, because I don't... doesn't make
age
sense.
Age difference.
I know. That's why. Look, what did I just say?
No, I know. But that would be too
copying.
But
it should be, because it doesn't make sense to me that Luke had a kid. I just don't. It's just weird. And then abandoned them.
Sorry, one other quick thing.
He's an orphan.
One quick thing.
Why would an orphan who has daddy issues abandon his child?
He wants to have a family and
people
then fuck
get messed
it up. But so he.
Nice language.
Sorry, might be. One other complaint that I've heard, and it's actually kind of an interesting point, and obviously they needed to forward the story, but the Return of the Jedi left you with this happily ever after feeling, and that these three characters were successful and they're going to continue.
Super cheesy ending.
Yeah. So then now it basically shows that they were absolute miserable failures. Luke failed at rebuilding the Jedi Order.
Leia
created a terrible child and their marriage fell apart or whatever they
had.
And just,
to break
no, absolutely.
Happy endings
but it's just
to continue the story.
It's interesting that, like, you know, they just were so good up until that point, and then everything just fell apart for them.
Well, it just feels that way because we're missing out on 30 years of Star Wars plot.
Right. No, we are.
Yeah, this but no, I'm with you, though. I agree. It was kind of like, and then everything was perfect, and then everything fell apart. whoops.
We talked a lot about Harrison Ford, but Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill. Did Hamill do anything outside of, like...
No, he stood there.
No. In any, it was like, you know, Harrison Ford obviously became a big actor.
Oh, yeah.
How about he's the voice of the Joker from Batman, the animated series, and every Batman video game.
Yeah. Okay.
He's had small roles in movies.
And he does voice acting for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
He had a huge voice acting.
Because the last.
He's in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
I wanted to comment on this. So
Bong
that's
Man or whatever.
That's the last time I saw him, and he looked 10 times worse in that movie than he did in this one. They did something
Well, you do know that in between A New Hope and Empire, he was in like a horrible disfiguring accident, right?
Oh, well.
And that had would like massive plastic surgery.
That would explain a lot of things.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm here to be educated, all right?
Evidently.
Ewoks, Wookiees, I didn't even think about it backwards, forwards, but the Tom Says Dumb Things podcast. The
force is strong.
No, he just looked really
good. Please stop knocking on the equipment.
Sorry. This is, I'm not hitting the microphone.
It's connected to the thing you're knocking on, dummy.
he looked good. Like, that's what you expect Luke Skywalker to look like.
Yeah, I thought that they did a good job. I mean, I didn't think like, oh, that's not Mark Hamill. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. He looks like a jaded, like, battle-scarred Jedi.
Yeah.
I could buy it.
Carrie Fisher, I thought, plays that role really well.
She did okay. I thought
you could hear it in her voice that she wasn't quite the same.
She's getting killed off in the second movie for sure.
Yeah, well, she's not on like all of the drugs this time.
Right.
Like, if you know anything about Carrie Fisher, you know in Return of the Jedi she had a Coke fingernail.
I'm totally drawing a blank on.
Yeah, you don't know anything about your favorite Star Wars movie.
I don't. I
didn't want to have it ruined for him.
Yeah, I know. Now I'm pissed that it could have been Chewbacca.
Carrie Fisher told I forget her name.
I knew she did drugs.
To not have sex with the crew members.
Yeah.
And there's like a bunch of like maternal advice that came from her, I guess. That was kind of messed up.
Oh, Lord. All right. So moving along with these, so we got the twists. Overall, the story, any thoughts that we haven't already mentioned? Basically, it was a rehash of A New Hope and An Empire Strikes Back.
Left me looking very much forward to the next movie. And my guess for the next one is it's going to be a focus on parallels with Rey completing her training and Kylo completing his, and then there'll be the meetup in
yep.
the third movie.
Seems likely.
And then with Phasma, the popular theory that I'm in agreement with is that because of her poor behavior and lack of performance in the first movie, she's going to get exiled, and then she'll rebuild herself but choose to join the good side.
Interesting.
Just like in
Game I didn't
of
know
Thrones.
The Empire did exile. I thought they were more reconditioning.
Well, they'll just like dump her ass or leave her for dead.
Sure. As a side note, Snoke.
Yeah.
Terrible character or the worst character ever?
Looks like Gollum, dude. Just like a really big Gollum.
No, it's not. It's like a terrible version of Gollum. Like, it's like an uglier Gollum. Like, it looks awful.
I do wonder what he's supposed to be. Maybe they found the Empire line in the pit of the Death Star and he somehow escaped.
Right. Here's what I'm... Yeah, he's just all fused together now. No, here's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that he looks nothing like that. I'm hoping he's like a Yoda-like alien, something like very unintimidating, and that he projects a false image of himself.
I'm just glad he wasn't too ridiculous, like sinister over the top.
He was pretty bad,
still, I know, but...
I mean, he literally is sinisterly over the top of the characters in every scene.
Well, that's true, but I thought it was clever how they made you think that it's going to be this giant, and when that happened, I was like, what the hell are they going to have, like, giants with lightsabers?
Did you actually think that?
No, until they showed the hologram, and I think they intentionally manipulated people to feel that way, like, oh, it's this giant dude, because you don't think it's a hologram until he's done. Did you really?
Yeah, I was like, ain't no giants in Star Wars, must be a hologram. You know, the way that the Emperor always appears to people.
Did he?
Yeah, like, all the time.
He wasn't that big.
No. In hologram form.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with that. I just assumed that they were talking to him in person.
The only reason that I was a little confused was because it was a full-color hologram.
Right, and that's the thing. They, like, made it seem like he was.
I hear what you're saying. I just didn't think it myself.
Right.
I hate his character, though. He's terrible. He sucks. He doesn't need to be. As far as I'm concerned, he could just not be in the plot.
Did you think that the Imperial officer was a little too whiny?
You know, a lot of people said that. I actually really liked his performance. It didn't bother me at all. Like, a lot of people were like, he's too young, or like, his delivery wasn't great. I loved his speech.
There's a bit of like a rivalry between him and Ren.
Yeah, and I liked that.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like Grand Moff Tarkin and Darth Vader. Wait, it's Grand Moff Tarkin is the one who's all making fun of the Force and stuff, right? Yeah.
Which also, a final parting thought, there is a really interesting YouTube video explanation, I believe Polygon produced it, about why no one knows about the Jedi and how they were forgotten so easily, and it really kind of just focuses on how they were these minor characters, but the focus of the movie, so everyone thought they were a bigger deal than they were. That was really quick, but watch the movie.
Okay, many words. Okay, so really quick, I want to touch on overall thoughts on the movie. I would say... I think it's great. I think you should see it if you like Star Wars. Even if you hated the prequels, you're safe with this one. I really think you are. It broke all the records and stuff, so obviously
safe is a good word.
Well. safe, but also good. I mean, it was Star Wars. The cinematography, the fact that they have shots that are like panning over the desert, and after a shot is over, and then like a little alien head pops out of the sand or whatever. Like, that's so Star Wars, and they nailed that. The audio stings are good. The soundtrack was, I thought, a little bit weak for a John Williams, but which I'm not even sure if he did the soundtrack for this one. I would assume so. But it didn't feel. I mean, there was no Duel of Fates or anything.
Yeah, I expected there to be a little more with the soundtrack.
That's your favorite song, I'm sure, Tom.
What happened now?
Episode one fight.
I like the Mustafar music between Obi-Wan and Annie.
Sure. Okay.
I like
get out of here.
Yeah, Tom tried to start this off by singing humming the theme, and he did Indiana Jones by mistake. So we don't even know that he saw the Star Wars movies.
Yeah, I really like the part with the alien with the crystal skull.
I'm gonna throw this out there real quick because I got like jacked up about Star Wars, wanted to play Star Wars video games, and this is a video game podcast, so this is relevant. I did not like the Battlefront, so I bought Knights of the Old Republic. I think that's gonna be sick. They need to make Shadows of the Empire and the pod racing game, like redo them or whatever, and make them on Xbox and stuff. Because don't tell me, I know episode one was bad, but one redeeming quality is that we got pod racing.
I didn't say anything.
I'm just talking out of my ass right now. But like, tell me that's not right.
He has his ass up to the microphone.
Tell me that's not right. The Darth Maul fight is sick, and pod racing was not good in the movie, but was a sweet video game. You know that's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know it be true.
Everybody knows what
was
that.
That was my Darth Vader, but it was not good.
That was just what? It was like Yoda Vader.
So we're gonna cut that and keep it for future podcasts.
Yeah, for future mockery.
And whenever Tom talks, we'll just say,
no,
you know,
is that not right?
True.
Podracer
was
sick.
No. Yoda.
All right, you're done.
Yeah, Podracer was sick. It was sick. The game.
Yeah. No. Yes. No one is arguing
no
about
one
that.
No one has ever argued with that.
So Star Wars people. Remake and Shadows of the Empire is good, right? You remember that from N64? They need to remake these. Why are they not remade?
Probably because of licensing reasons.
Cut that.
For the same reason, Battlefront wasn't as good as it could have been.
Not all Star Wars licensed games were like.
They need to make new ones too.
Anyways, so overall, I'm giving it an 8 out of 10. You guys, out of 10 rating.
Yeah, 8 out of 10, solid. Go see it, but it doesn't blow your mind.
8.5. I'll give it an 8.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. The most critical person gave it the highest rating. Interesting.
I very much enjoyed it. A bit of that was devil's advocate, and some of the issues I made out to be bigger than they actually were, but it is frustrating.
It's almost
that
like arguing about nerdy things.
Yes, but it seems like they could have easily fixed some of the biggest issues.
Okay. Last thing, and then we're going to let you guys go for this week. I want everyone to go around the table and just say what your favorite moment from the movie was.
You guys start because I need to think about it.
Oh, boy. That's tough.
Nothing is tough.
For me, I really enjoyed the start of the movie that focused on Rey and just kind of the scope of Jakku when she's scrapping the ship and then it
favorite
pans out.
Favorite moment.
Sorry. Yes. Ooh, favorite moment.
Henry, you gotta toss one out there.
You guys aren't going to like it. But by far, my favorite moment in the film was at the very beginning when Finn's friend Stormtrooper gets killed. And Finn has his PTSD shell shock moment. I thought it was really well acted. I didn't notice the continuity error, if there is one. I'm not 100% convinced there is one. And the feeling that I got when I realized that Stormtroopers are really dead and that these Star Wars battles that... as a kid and in the past, I've always viewed as the Power Rangers with sparks coming off of them when they're hit with a laser has suddenly gotten very real to me when I realized there are real human casualties. It's not just clones. It's a real dude who's dead.
Well,
and
clones are humans too.
Hardly, but yeah. I mean, you mean the enhanced learning and growth like Jango Fett clones? Hardly. But my point being, I thought it was a very, very humanizing moment and it made the Star Wars... so it made the costs and sort of the stakes feel more real to me in a way that I've never felt for Star Wars before.
I like that moment. I'm going to go with a humor one. I loved it when Finn called Han Solo solo and just Harrison Ford turns back. He's like, what are you doing, dude? Like, I thought...
I can see you doing that with Bob.
Yeah, no, I've had some weird moments in my life.
Yo,
but
Sansevier.
Yeah, that would not fly pretty well. But It's how the people, like, how I felt. Like, I was like, hey, I'm glad, you know, Han Solo's back, Luke Skywalker, all those guys. And, like, I could see myself in that moment doing something weird like that. And I totally loved it. I thought it was totally awesome.
Nice.
Fun fact, the planet that they're on with Maz Kanata, it's called Takodana. Anyways, so my favorite moments, there's two. The first was when the X-Wings first make their appearance and they're rushing over the lake and then engage in combat.
Sure.
And it's shown how badass Poe is.
Roll out.
And then when Rey is just chilling by the downed AT-AT playing in the helmet. Wearing the helmet,
oh,
pretending
yeah,
as a starfighter.
Yeah. Sure, sure.
Also, that helmet actually belongs to a known character, and he'll be fleshed out either in the comics or
yes.
another movie.
The number one, my little brother must have loathed me by the end of the movie because I just constantly kept whispering references just throughout the whole thing. Because, good Lord, if you wanted tongue-in-cheek Star Wars references, you'll get 1,000 of them.
But props all the cameos, because that Daniel Craig cameo is fantastic.
They did really good with a lot of stuff. The weaknesses are minor. The strengths are great. Strongly recommend that everybody go and check this out. And that pretty much does it for this week's show. We'll be back to the normal stuff. We're going to be doing a best games of the year and some stuff that we're anticipating next year next week. So be sure to tune in for that. But in the meantime, this has been procedurally generated. We hope you guys have enjoyed listening to the show. Please be sure to check us out on Audioboom and iTunes to leave us a rating or a review. You can also follow us on Twitter @PG_show. Thanks, and as always, game on.